Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, my name is Connie Going, and welcome to Adoption Focus. Adoption Focus is a radio blog talk show sponsored by Adoption Associates of Michigan. Adoption Associates is an amazing adoption agency that has existed since 1990, and they have done over 5,000 placements, both through international and domestic. They are a Christian agency, but they serve families of all faiths. They have three offices, one in Jenison, one in Lansing, one in Farmington Hills and Saginaw. So they serve the entire state of Michigan, as well as the surrounding states. I am so excited today to bring to you Kim Shulton. And Kim is an adoptive mom. She is an adoptive mom of four children, two through domestic adoption and two through international adoption from Ethiopia. You are going to absolutely enjoy speaking to her, and I am excited to say that she is here to talk to us about adoption support and what families need after adoption, as well as her journey. Kim, are you there?
Me.
Hi, Kim, are you there?
I am. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good.
That's terrific. How is the weather in Michigan? Everyone has heard before, I am in Florida.
Today it's a little gloomy, but it's supposed to be a really hot weekend. So we're looking forward to some 90-degree days here in Michigan.
And I'm not in Florida. That would be our spring.
Yeah.
And today it's raining in Florida, so we're very tropical. And for those of you who tune in later, just so you know, it is July 17th, 2015. Kim, tell us a little bit about your adoption journey.
Okay. Our family came to adoption following a couple years of infertility. We went directly into the domestic program here in Michigan, and we took our oldest daughter, who's now 10, home from the hospital and soon started the process again and added our son. And then we decided to switch to the international program, and we have our two youngest are from Ethiopia. And so I'm a busy mom of four. Our kids are 10, 6, 4, and 2.
So you're extremely busy.
I am, yeah, and it's summer, so it's extra busy and lots of time together.
Tell me, what are the differences in your experiences between the domestic and the international? We know that Adoption Associates does both programs, and I know that with domestic, it would just be a totally different experience. Tell me a little bit about both, just to summarize.
Okay. Yeah, for us, domestic, we went into domestic with decision-making process behind that was just we really wanted to have as much of an experience with a newborn and all of the sort of traditional parenting milestones that we could. And so we went into that program expecting an infant and wanting that experience. And I think probably the hardest part in domestic is that you have sort of an unknown wait. You're sitting there waiting to be chosen by a birth family. And you don't know if that process is going to be a week or if it's going to be 4 years. For us, it was about a year, and we were really thankful for that. But when you switch to international, you, of course, are getting an older child, and you're getting on an airplane and traveling around the world to meet a child that already has a personality and has had some life experiences. And but what we liked about the international program was that you kind of have an idea of your weight in terms of you're on a list and you know kind of that you're working your way up and that your weight is not indefinite.
Right. You have a little bit of control in that, in the international.
Yeah.
I can understand.
Yes. Yeah.
How old were your two youngest when you actually, did you get them at the same time? Did you go over two times? What was that like?
We, our oldest child from Ethiopia, who is four, we got her, she had just turned a year. So we just missed, and our littlest guy came home to us at 7 months.
Wow.
So they were both young, but still, man, did they already know what they liked and disliked, and it was clear, you know, from that experience walking into it and meeting them that we were the strangers, and so that whole kind of bonding and attachment process takes on a little bit of a different feel than taking home a newborn.
Yes. How did you, like, encourage that attachment and bonding? Because I just find that to be so important in all adoptions, but especially when a child is a little bit older.
Yeah. You know, I think it just, a lot of it comes to just your common sense parenting.
Yeah.
You know, you can tell when your child is feeling distressed or hurt or grieving, and it's just kind of a matter of stepping into that situation and going, all right, if they are sad, I'm going to comfort them, I'm going to hold them, we're going to rock them, we're going to play on the floor, we're going to tickle, we're going to, you know, just kind of interact on their level. And it's hard because I think a lot of times when you're in those situations, you don't have the answers to how to meet all those needs. I know some of the problems that we had were sleep issues, and you're up all the time and deciding, like, what's the best thing to do? Do I come in every 10 minutes and pick them up, or do I let them cry, or do I pet them? Or so some of that is trial and error, too.
Mm-hmm.
Our oldest daughter had a very difficult time with my husband when we took her home. So for him, there was a lot of time just out on the swing in the backyard pushing her and talking to her. And we learned quickly that her love language was food. So he took on the role of always, you know, feeding her at mealtimes. And you just kind of make your way through it and do the best you can and fall back a little bit on what you've read and what you've heard. And then you just, you know, you just interact as much as you can.
I would agree. I love that you use the love languages. Because I haven't actually heard that for a long time in adoption, but I really think that's so true. What we don't realize is that, you know, I believe children are kind of born with a lot of who they are, and they're going to have different needs and wants. And no matter what age you adopt at, and those who listen to the show know that I have adopted sons who are 15 and 17 now. I adopted them at 12 and 17. And I found that having to learn what their cycle of need was,
that
had been broken, and filling that need. I love that you said, though, that your husband learned. And I think that's really great as a couple, that he went out and he, with your oldest child, I mean, you know, she was adopted domestically, but she responded to you, but to go out there and have that time with her and then learn her love language. I just think that is a great assessment.
Yep.
Of yourself.
Yep. Yeah, I think there's a lot of times as parents you feel like you need to have all the answers going into an adoption, and there's so many things that you can't read a book, so you learn to just kind of find people that have walked before you, or you, you know, you do the best you can, and sometimes that has to be okay and good enough.
I agree. Do you find that adoptive parents are harder on themselves?
You know, I only know, you know, for myself, the expectations that I put on me personally, and that's that I'm parenting just in general, but there's an extra element, I think, of trying to decide, is this issue that I'm dealing with my children, is this an adoption issue, or is this just a normal kid issue, and trying to decipher between those two, and then figure out, you know, how do I respond to it? So I know that at the end of the day, I'm hard on myself. Now, I don't know if that's necessarily because I'm an adoptive parent or if I'm, if that's a generalization or not. I don't know.
Well, we had a support group meeting this week, and that was the topic of conversation. The couples that were there, and I found it very interesting that sometimes even society expects you to hold to a higher standard because you've chosen to raise a child that's not biologically yours. And I think there's a lot of debate around that, but I think it's very interesting. And how I define, and what I've learned over the years as a social worker in adoption, is that how you define being a good parent, like, am I a good parent, is a parent who lays down in bed at night and figures out, they analyze and assess their day and their and what happened, and they figure out how to do it better if it didn't work. Or I was successful at that, but we're going to try this tomorrow. And I think that just that kind of says it all.
Yeah, and I think, too, you know, as an adoptive mom, knowing that another person chose me to parent their child, that holds great responsibility for me. Like, I don't, like, the weight of that. I feel that, like, a young mom chose me to parent her child. So I want to do it to the best of my ability and in a way that honors her and her child and her decision. So I think we carry some of that, too.
I totally agree. And even if we look at our older children adoption, I think that the fact that the children chose me as their mom, I feel sort of the same way. It's amazing the parallels between all the different types of adoption, and that we're all adoptive parents, but we have a very common thread.
Yes.
Now, do you have an open adoption with your domestic adoptions? Is it open?
Semi-open? No, we have a semi-open with both of our domestic adoptions. So we do annual letters and pictures, and we have had some visits with birth moms early on in our children coming home.
Right.
And since then, we've just had, in particular, we have one child that really wanted to connect with her birth parent, and we made that happen, but it just has not been a really healthy situation. So for us right now, that's where we're at, and we're open to meeting birth parents in the future when our children get older and a little more developmentally capable of handling all of the complexity that comes with that.
It is, and I think that's an area that we really look to other adoptive parents to help us through, is your gut tells you certain things. Of course, it's always scary, but your gut tells you because you want what's best for your child. And you really can't do wrong, per se, because you're always keeping them safe and always keeping them protected. But you also can't take away that this is who they are genetically connected to. And their eyes make it clear.
There's definitely a trend now, of course, where open adoptions are more commonplace. So I think for us, too, we really had to sit down and say, you know, there's a lot of advice as to why this is good, but in our situation, it actually has been harmful. So we've had to, you know, kind of pull back in that area.
I understand completely. And I think that there isn't a right or wrong when you put your child first.
Yeah, I would agree totally.
You know, and I think the fact that you're open to it, I think that is what unselfish love is not only a birth parent choosing to place and having that unselfish love to have someone else raise their child, but the unselfishness that you have as an adoptive mom and dad to step over your fears and reach out, because it is very scary on all ends. I've lived it myself and had both bad and good situations, and there was nobody there except really other parents to ask.
Yes.
How will you now with your children from Ethiopia? How does that work? Because obviously they're of a different race than you, just looking at your family picture. And they come with a whole other set of connectors, and they actually have some memories and experiences.
I don't know that they remember too much of their life in Ethiopia. I think what they remember at this point are memories triggered because we've talked about it so often or we've looked at pictures together. So they, I think, are connected to their country because of us connecting them to it.
Okay.
But they were both very young when we took them home, and I think those memories stuck with them at first, but I don't know that they have a lot of them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We have chosen to connect also with their birth families, so we have sent updated letters and pictures and stuff to them as well since taking them home. So I'm really thankful that we have that connection.
Mm-hmm.
Even across the world, we can still get in contact with them if we need to.
Well, and if they ask as they get older, I think it's very valuable to be able to say to a child when they're going through their teens and tweens and they're looking at that identity and they're naturally pushing away from their parents mm-hmm. and they're looking for who they are, to be able to say, I've spoken to your mom. We've written letters. You were very loved. I find the common thread for children, and the healthy common thread, is that they want to know that they were loved.
Yes, I find that as well. And it's hard when you're, as our children get older and trying to explain that sometimes loving decisions are hard and painful decisions. And that we've had a lot of conversations about, your birth parents loved you so much that they wanted to give you what they couldn't give you. And sometimes my kids interpret that as we weren't wanted and we weren't loved. So we're constantly kind of fighting that dilemma of you mm-hmm. were, but you feel like you weren't.
Well, and sometimes just understanding, I think until children can understand that life isn't just, their world is everything that you've given them and their home and their community, and everything's very safe. As a social worker, my children grew up with me kind of in the field. And so they knew very early on about poverty and even adoption, foster care, and child abuse. So how do you explain that to a child that doesn't have that exposure and have them actually understand? And, so when a birth mother makes a choice and she may live she wants a better life for her child, your child can't comprehend that there are worse lives than yours.
Yeah, that's true. Part of us, when we met each of our birth families too, especially our domestic, we asked both birth moms if they would write a letter to our kids that we could share with them as they got older. And in fact, my oldest child this week, we were kind of, rereading that and talking about it. And I think, as much as the conflicting feelings come along, having that solid, tangible thing from them has been important to just kind of speak to their little beings.
It's so true. And that ultimate question, was I loved, carries through their whole life. And I will tell you, the piece that my 17-year-old son found was very much like that. His mother, with the time he found her, he was in care. She was deceased. And we've connected to his biological family, and the message he gets is that she did love you. She just wasn't able to care for you. And he needed to hear that. Both my sons need to hear that on a consistent basis. And so I find that is like the children that are adopted, no matter what age, nobody wants to feel like somebody gave them up or they were taken. Even when you say they couldn't care for you, that's really hard. But they chose gives it a whole difference, and that they were loved. Tell me a little bit about... I know you are so, so, so busy. Tell me a little bit about this wonderful retreat that you are working on, Woven by Love, and just the need for adoptive parents to stay connected.
Okay. Yeah, the retreat really has come out of an experience that I've had attending a retreat in the Atlanta area, and I just really came away from that weekend feeling different. And what I mean by that is just that prior to that, I was always kind of the one adoptive mom of my friends, I had started connecting with other adoptive moms. But in general, in my circle of peers, I was always sort of the exception. And when I went to an adoptive mom's conference, I was in a room and I was one of everybody. And that for me was just a really powerful experience of validating my journey to motherhood, which was so different than all of my friends. I knew that the women in there understood what it's like to wait and what it's like to have a picture hanging on your fridge and just like longing to meet that child. I knew what it was like. They knew what it was like to struggle with a placement and having seen your birth mom's heart just so tender and raw. So for me, it was such a validating experience. Like, I am normal in this group. Like, this is my tribe of people that get it. And I just felt like this is something we need to take to our area, because in the West Michigan area, we have so many adoptive families, and the amount of post-adoption support is just limited and hard to find. And I've just kind of been feeling these nudgings to kind of get something going in our area, and just decided to do it. So we're 2 weeks away from registration, so it's been a busy couple months kind of bringing in really passionate and educated speakers on board, and finding the facility and doing the website and all of that stuff that comes along. But I just am so excited about it. And I think it's going to really step into where women are at in different places of the adoption journey and just kind of fill them up again when it's easy to get kind of depleted.
Well, I found it very inspiring. The more that I listened to you and talked to you and then read up on it and brought it up in the support group Monday night, and they were like, we could so do this. We I think there is a need. I mean, I literally believe I could run a support group once a week or more, and it would be filled with families. They travel 2 hours to get here. I had one family this week.
Wow,
They just want to connect, online, because our lives are so busy. We actually added childcare to ours, and so that's why I think it grew more. But I think the idea of a retreat where you don't have to take your children and you can actually have a weekend where you can go and talk to other moms and share your experiences. Now, what date have you guys settled on? When is it?
Our retreat is going to be the last weekend of January, January 29 through 31. But we're hoping for a really strong response when we open registration. And I've just heard a lot of good things, and our agencies have been really supportive. And there's a lot of buzz going on Facebook now about it. So I'm hoping that the word's getting out.
What is your goal as far as attendance? How many people are you hoping to have at this retreat?
Yeah, we need, we can have up to 225. That's our max number.
Okay.
And we're hoping to fill it. So that's our goal.
That is very exciting. And you'll have speakers there. And what is it? Is the focus domestic? Is it international? What is the focus? Is it open to every type of adoptive mom?
It's definitely open to any mom who is anywhere in the process for any type of adoption. So whether it's foster to adopt or international or waiting moms or been home for 10 years mom, I really feel like we've been intentional about choosing breakout speakers that can address a variety of adoption topics, anything from adoption grief at different developmental levels to what it's like to be a child of a different race, raised in a Caucasian family. We have some attachment through playful engagement. So I feel like we have a great range of different topics, and the people that have stepped up, to support us and be part of it, I think are really in it for the right reasons and have the same intentions that I do for just kind of equipping moms and refreshing them after a weekend away from all of the crazies back home.
So what part of Michigan will the retreat be held in?
It will be held on Gull Lake at Gull Lake Ministries, which is located between Grand Rapids and Kalamazoo.
Okay.
I know that we have moms coming from the Traverse City area, from the east side of the state. I know there's moms flying in from out of state. So we're really targeting our area, but it's definitely open to outside of just the West Michigan area.
That is very, very exciting. And we know that adoption, it's always amazing to me when you're out and if you're having a conversation and the word adoption comes up, is that how many people will say, well, I was adopted, or my mom, you know, placed a child, or, I mean, I'm very open about, I mean, obviously when you walk in with children of different race, I mean, you don't, and there's, a whole debate about do you explain, do you not, but somehow mm-hmm. I think for me, because I work in the field and I'm so passionate, I live it, I want to help people, that it just comes up naturally in conversation as a whole. And so I'm always amazed how many people it touches that we would never know.
Yeah, and I think as an adoptive mom, too, as I've started kind of sharing and blogging about our experiences, there's so much to the whole process that families outside of adoption didn't know about. Like they think, oh, well, it's a process, and then you take your child home, and then you're a cute little family, and then everything goes on as normal. And sometimes people might have that. It's not always ours, but... So I think just being really honest and vulnerable and real about this is what's really hard. This is what's hard about going to the grocery store with two Ethiopian children in my shopping cart. Or this is what's hard about that day you're so excited about going to the hospital and taking home your first child, but you feel guilty leaving the hospital because it was such a hard thing. Or just all those things that I think people, they think, oh, they've just waited, and now your child is home, and now everything is happy, and you're doing such a great thing. And
I'm always amazed. I love adoption education, which was one of the reasons that Adoption Associates really, really supports this radio blog talk, because I feel like the more people that we educate and talk and share, and I am very open in my own adoptive journey, the more people it will touch. And there are thousands of orphans. There are orphans overseas. There are orphans in the United States. And there are birth mothers who, if they knew they could have a choice, they could make positive choices for their children. Yeah. And the more that we talk about it and we open up our lives, people become educated. I think it's the same. People have very... And I think times are changing because people are talking and people are sharing.
Yeah.
And, that's why I said when I talked to you, Kim, I knew that you and I would have a great connection and a lot of commonalities because you are so passionate about adoption and your children and your family. And it's amazing because if you go back, you know, to when you were in your early 20s and you thought that you would be an adoptive parent and this would be your life's purpose.
Yeah.
You smile and laugh.
God's funny that way, isn't he? Yeah. No, I look where it's brought me. I mean, I feel like our story, I've always felt like our story needs to be told because someone needs to hear it. Yeah. And I haven't always known or been validated with what that is, but that's just really been laid on my heart from the get-go. Like, we're going to share this experience because someone is going to be coming behind and needs the encouragement or needs the honesty, and we can do that. So,
and you can
always talk about our family.
Oh, and absolutely, I so agree with you. To know that things happen for reasons to change other people's lives really, I think, God at work. And when God puts adoption on your heart and you really can't shake it, and you're like, and the world may say, no, I can't believe you're doing that. You're like, no, we're going to do this, and this is our journey. What have some of the challenges been for you? Because, I mean, four children, and you've really grown your family, And you have a beautiful family. You're an amazingly dedicated family. What were the challenges that you faced with, because sometimes adoption can be isolating also, which is why support is so important. Tell me, let's talk a little bit about that before we end.
Okay. You know, I think my expectation was when we took our first baby home, was that my road to getting that baby was hard and difficult and much longer than many of my peers. But I felt like once that child was home, then we would kind of be on the same turf. And in a lot of ways, we are. We parent in similar ways. We have a lot of the same conversations about parenting. But there was also part of me that felt very disconnected when, as it often comes up, like the labor stories and the pregnancy photos and all of those sort of things. And I could listen to those, but I always couldn't participate in that. And so for me, it almost made me feel like maybe I'm almost less of a mom because I haven't had those particular experiences. So it's been very helpful for me to have other friends where we can have our own sort of labor and delivery stories of the day I got the call and then waiting until we could travel or, you know, stepping into an orphanage for a first time or a first night in a hospital, not in a hospital, in a hotel room with our child. Those are really important for me to be able to share with other people who were like me. It just validated me as a mom.
I totally understand because unless you've been there, you really don't understand it. And I find that for some reason, and I have biological and adopted children, but unfortunately for my biological children, I'm a better mom now. And I don't know why that is, but I really have stepped it up, and we process that. Of course, we have counseling, but I just feel like, I mean, I've always been a good mom, but I became like a better mom. And it really is. Did you find, how was your, I mean, I imagine you've surrounded yourself with people that are supportive, but as in your journey, when people kind of didn't get it, were there any surprises in those people? Were there family, friends, were coworkers?
We have had, in large, a very supportive extended family, for sure immediate family. We've had hurtful things said about our children, especially our little Ethiopians, that have been very difficult. And I think I've come to this place of just understanding that people get it or they don't get it. And I don't have to change them on that spectrum. I can share the story of our family and we can be a good example of an adoptive family, but I can't change people's passions and hearts and understandings of why someone would want to go to Africa and parent a child that they've never met if they don't get it. And that's okay. Yeah. And I've learned the more I can let that go, the more healthy it is for me interacting with people.
It's very hard because, people, it came from two places. I find that people want the best for you and your family, then they truly love you and they just don't get it. And so they are struggling to think, you know, they're worried about you. And so... Yeah. You can find a place for that. And then there's just the people out there that just don't get it, will never get it. And those are the ones that you tend to walk away from.
Yeah. Yep.
And hope that maybe they'll get it one day, but you're not going to take your time and energy to spend it on them. I think looking for that core reason of why someone doesn't understand, like, is it about because that they love us? And they don't think we can have another child, or this is going to be too hard, whether it's financially, emotionally. But I find as an adoptive parent, I can deal with those family members, friends, and we usually are able to always resolve it because if you care about someone, that's a little bit different. I think,
Of course.
As you get to put your story out there, one of the things that happens is people will. look and who don't know you at all and will make assumptions.
Yeah.
And they are uneducated a lot of times. And those tend to hurt, but you can, you just have to find the place for them. Because someone's always going there. You know, our story was very much in the national media, and so it was really challenging to read. In fact, I had to stop reading all the comments that people were posting, you know, about different things. Because I thought, well, okay, you take the, I'd say that 80% were positive and 20% negative people. So.
Yeah.
But I so respect your decision to share your story and to put it out there to help others. I think that is just an amazing thing and the right thing to do.
Well, thanks for that.
So we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. Is there anything that you want to share? I mean, for those of you who don't know, the website for the retreat is www.wovenbylove.org. And you can find them on Facebook, so you can put in Woven by Love. And we'll definitely at Adoption Associates continue to promote as things happen, let us know. And we'll put it out there. We want to support our adoptive mothers and families. Is there anything else you want to share?
Yeah, no, I just, with regards to the retreat, I just want moms to know, like, we're committed to doing it with excellence. We're not doing it haphazardly. Like, we have and have walked what they have walked, and we just really think they're going to benefit from coming. We would love for them to come.
We will definitely share that. And for myself, for Adoption Associates, we just appreciate you and your family so very much and taking the time. For those of you who've tuned in live and those of you who are tuning in later, we so appreciate you listening. I'm just going to share Adoption Associates' website. It's www.adoptionassociates.net. And their number is 1-800-677-2367. We hope everyone has a fantastic weekend. And, Kim, take care, and I appreciate this so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.